Welcome to Two Slant Trees, the podcast where a married couple learn to cope differently during social isolation while reading Brené Brown's The Gift of Imperfection together. This is episode 11, and today we'll be talking about cultivating play and rest. So, this news item popped up in my Facebook feed, as since this is our Corona podcast, we've been sort of updating on the status of the coronavirus a little bit, right?
Yeah.
And as we're trying not to freak out about, you know, the Quebec's numbers and how they're rapidly increasing, apparently the president of Belarus refuses to cancel anything and says, what do you think, Sana? What do you think will beat the coronavirus, according to Belarus?
I think just being Russian.
Yeah. Vodka and saunas will beat the coronavirus.
So vodka on your own, I guess. Do you wash your hands with it, or what are you supposed to do with it?
I don't know. I assumed you're supposed to drink vodka in the sauna.
Okay. And in the sauna, are there other people in the sauna? Because I've heard that goes 100% against all recommendations.
I don't know.
It's unclear. You start a pack into a sauna and
maybe if you
cough on each other.
Yeah, I don't know. It sounds like a good time will be had by half.
Okay, so you call it Belarus?
Is that not?
I don't know. I always heard it called Belarus.
What?
I don't know. Maybe people were confused.
Are these two different places?
Well, there's Belarus tractors, right?
Okay.
Yeah, I guess you'd know that. But maybe people just said that because they thought it sounded like Polaris snowmobiles.
A little bit.
But people just definitely used to say Belarus. Anyways, Belarus.
That's all I've ever heard.
Maybe in French, Belarus.
Belarus.
Okay.
Pretty rude. Belarus.
Yes. Anyways, so now we know. Now we know how to fix coronavirus. I don't know how to transition.
Okay.
Apparently, I read that article, though, that when the Spanish flu ended, people were like, finally, we can be done with all these dumb flu jokes. And maybe once this coronavirus... When Spanish flu ended, yeah, in 1918. Yeah. People thought, they're like, at least we can be done with these dumb jokes. Maybe people are saying the same thing right now.
I don't know.
In the comfort of their own home.
It's the only way to cope, really, is it not?
Well, we're learning a lot of different ways of coping, right?
Yeah, and I guess...
That's a transition.
There's a transition.
Yes.
Today, we're talking about play and rest.
Yeah.
And as well as letting go of exhaustion as a status symbol and productivity as self-worth.
Yes.
That's like, oof.
Okay. So that's what we're talking about.
Yeah.
So can I ask you... Were you able to do any play or relaxation today?
Surprisingly, yes. Because life with children, like, it just seems like there's never really a lot of time for play and, or at least relaxation. But today, I was thinking about this. I was thinking how grateful I was that Jack is at this age. He's 5, but we can totally play games now. Like, legitimate games. Not like, you know, imagination stuff. Which I'm not good at and I don't like. But we played DOS today, which is like kind of a spin-off of Uno.
Okay.
And it took us a while to figure it out because it's, I don't know, maybe we're dumb. But it was, we had a lot of fun. And yeah, I'm just glad he's at that age where we can play games instead of do other, I don't know, other things.
Like he can actually play the game.
Yes, yeah.
And it's not just pretending because he was really happy. After the game.
That's because he won.
Because he won.
He's a winner. That was the fun part about the game is training
him to not... Because you're a sore loser?
No, because he is... Like, every time it looked like he was going to lose, he'd be, like, whining and almost crying. And I'm like, okay, let's learn about sportsmanship and, you know, not being a whiner. And how do you have a good attitude even when it looks like you might lose? Because he ended up winning. Anyways, that was an awful fun part.
Yeah, and he actually wanted to take... Because you know how you put the rainbow on the window to say it's going to be okay? He's like, can we go put this score on our front door?
So everybody knows that I won.
Yeah.
So. He's a special guy.
Yeah, he likes to win.
What about you? Did you rest?
I had a pretty relaxing day.
Yeah.
So I don't know when you're listening to us, but today is Sunday evening when we're recording.
Yeah.
And didn't think much about work, even though I got to go to work tomorrow. Or go to the office in our house tomorrow. But I just didn't think too much about it and had a nap in the afternoon. Went to church online. Yeah, didn't worry about things too much.
Yeah, it's pretty much Dutch tradition, or at least Dutch Canadian.
If you don't have a nap in the afternoon on Sunday, you're in trouble for the whole week.
Like, that is what you do, is, like, yeah. You go home from church, and you have, like, lunch, and then you nap.
In the Ten Commandments.
You nap, yeah.
Top ten.
So, okay, diving into today's chapter. Okay, so what's interesting about this book is that it's all born out of her research, right? And she has all this data, and she has to try and, like, make something out of the data. So she saw this pattern we're talking about today, and she didn't even know what to call it. I guess she was just, like, so wrapped up in being, like, important and working hard and productive that she couldn't even, like, didn't even know what she was looking at when she was looking at people who were playing and being, and, like, doing recreation. She, like, said to her friend, "These people are, like, goofing off and stuff." And her friend's like, "What do you mean?" And she just, like, didn't even know what to call it.
Yeah. Well, because it wasn't, like, hobbies even necessarily, but it was they would have fun.
Yeah, I guess. Which, it doesn't seem very adult in some ways. Having an excuse. So then she Googles, because she's like, "I'm going to research, like, play." And then she Googles adult play. She's like, don't Google adult play, because you can imagine. But in that quote-unquote research, she found this guy named Dr. Stuart Brown, who's a psychiatrist. He has a book called Play, How It Shapes the Brain, Opens the Imagination, and Invigorates the Soul.
Oh,
so nice. He says, play shapes our brain, it helps us foster empathy, helps us navigate complex social groups, and is at the core of creativity and innovation.
So how does she define play in the end?
You probably didn't notice this, because usually the definitions are in italics.
Yeah.
But this time, she didn't even have a definition,
okay,
as far as I could tell. But she said there were general principles that it was, she said, basically, it's purposeless.
Okay.
And we do it because we want to and it's fun.
Okay.
Which I think it kind of, like, does that mean, like, anything we don't have to do and we want to do, it kind of counts.
It has to be fun.
Yeah.
It's interesting that she's purposeless, because that's a negation, right?
You mean a negative?
Yeah, it's a negative. Definition? It's not like I would just define it as something that we want to do and that's fun.
Yeah.
I guess because it's not totally purposeless if it's fun. Like, you're doing it because it's fun.
Well, that's what I said. If it's something we want to do and it's fun, like, yeah. Or yeah, and that we want to do, yeah. So, we find it fun. I guess some people find, like, science and stuff fun, which I do not relate to, but...
Hmm.
So she says...
Well, fulfilling is different than fun.
That's true. Anyways. She says, like, obviously these days in our North American culture, finding people doing purposeless activities is rare. Like, we don't really spend time doing that because our self-worth is so tied to our net worth, and because we base our level of worthiness on our productivity.
Hmm.
So people are like, they think they're too important, or they don't have time, or, I mean, probably adults, like, a lot of the time feel like they should be cleaning their house or doing one of those honeydew projects around the house rather than sitting around playing a board game with some friends.
Yeah. Of course, you have to like board games.
Exactly.
You're going to have fun doing board games.
We don't love them.
Yeah.
Some, I mean, depending on the which ones they are, we might hate them.
Yeah.
But what's that one that you really hate?
Settlers. Settlers of Catan.
Oh, I didn't think you hated that one. It was that other one that you hated. Anyways.
Risk. Monopoly.
Yeah, you hate that one.
Monopoly is just a friendship ender. Partly because it lasts 6 hours.
We used to, so we learned, I bought this for Monopoly Junior for the kids at Christmas. Was it me or was it Santa? It was me. And because we always played it with our family at Christmas time. And so I set it all up and Willie's like, "You played this game with your family at Christmas time? It takes forever." And I remember, then I was like, "Oh yeah, it does." Like, it would take all afternoon. And it always ended up in
anger,
quitting,
and deadlock. Because it's like,
that's the thing.
So just a battle, like, of stubbornness.
Yeah, exactly. Or you could say a war of attrition.
Or cheating.
No, there's like, no cheating.
I've heard that's how it ended in my family. But I think I gave up playing before the cheating even started. I can't verify
that. We have no cheaters in our family. Oh. My side of family, at least. So if our children are cheaters...
But it meant that you ended up playing Monopoly for years and years on end. So maybe it would have served the whole family if someone had just...
Anyways.
Started stealing money from the bank.
So Willie's a once-a-year Monopoly player. He's agreed to play Monopoly.
Junior. I'll play Monopoly Deal once those kids get
figured out. Oh, I love Monopoly Deal.
Yeah.
So we have some card games that we like. Yeah. We figured that out. Where are my notes? So she says, she quotes this guy, Stuart Brown. The opposite of play is not work. The opposite of play is depression.
Okay.
What are your thoughts on that?
Sounds like a deepity. Sounds like something that sounds really deep.
But it's not actually. Yeah. Is that a word you just made up?
No, I heard it somewhere else. But
depression.
Right? Like, I feel like there's a lot of other options, right? Like, just because you get to play Monopoly doesn't mean you have to be depressed.
I'm not sure he's using a
clinical definition of depression, maybe.
Well, this is what he's... I mean, he is a psychiatrist, so he's... I don't think he's... Okay. So he says... if we learn how to play, it will help our work because we can bring back excitement to our job. It helps us deal with various challenges. In the long run, he says, work does not work without play.
Hmm.
He says that there's like biological stuff and yeah. So in her research, she says like, she called it a shocking similarity between the biological need for play and our body's need for rest. She says, it seems that living and loving with our whole hearts requires us to respect our body's need for renewal.
Hmm.
I really liked that word, renewal.
Yeah.
Because it reminds me of what I think Sundays are supposed to be.
Yeah.
Like the idea of setting aside it for rest and recreation and renewal.
Yeah.
A lot easier when you don't have kids.
I think I've heard that once they get a bit bigger, you have a lot more fun.
Yeah, I've heard that too. We'll just have to believe that.
Yeah.
So, as we know, North Americans tend to be, okay, maybe this is a stereotype, but like.
But I'd say, before we get to the North Americans, whoever those people are, just about renewal being, like Sunday being a time of renewal. But it's also like, even like when he came, his first miracle was at least in the Gospel of John, is that he turned water into wine, right? And it says the Son of Man came eating and drinking.
Yeah, so he had good times.
Yeah, well, like, he was like...
He was fun.
Rest, right? Like, it's the Sabbath. He's the Sabbath rest of God. But then also it's like, he's fun too, right? And so, they're like, even if you're very...
Woman, it's not my time.
Yeah, he was rude to his mother too, which I'm not...
Well, we don't know if that was rude.
It sounds
rude.
Every interpretation I've heard of it sounds like, why do you talk to your mom like that? but it sounded like also that he had a reputation of having fun with people.
Yeah.
Right. And that there's something interesting where it's like, I don't think Jeremiah was a fun guy to be around.
Mm.
Or,
no.
Yeah.
Or literally anyone in the prophets.
Yeah. I'm trying to think. Ezekiel maybe would have been an interesting guy. He seemed a bit nuts.
Yeah. So, but that, like, that also makes us think of the party tithe.
Yeah. Yeah, Deuteronomy, where it says, like, take up a tithe of all your everything. Then you take it to the temple at, like, a certain time of the year in Deuteronomy 14. And then actually, like, you give some to the Levites and you make an offering. But the offering is that you cook it. And then you eat it, right? And it's a big party, right? And like, and whatever you can't eat, or like, everything you don't need, you would sell to get money to make an even bigger party and to buy other
party supplies. I thought it was more that like, you actually set aside 10% during the Jubilee year to like, throw a like, enormous.
Yeah, I couldn't find the reference for that party. Though.
Well, before I got here. Where do we read that in? It was, what's his face's book? That dude. Gary Thomas.
Okay.
It was about Sabbath. It was so good, that book. Okay. No, it was about play.
Okay.
I'll have to look. We will look it up.
You'll have to look it up. Share it with folks.
We both really liked that book.
I'm not sure if I read it.
Well, I liked it.
It was maybe all in italics. You picked the wrong font. You're lost on me.
No, I think sometimes what happens is you're like, oh, I know what they're going to say, and then you don't read the book.
That's right? True.
That's true.
Yeah. It's not always true.
So,
but there was a part of the tithe was actually to go to throw a party for you and your community.
Yeah.
And it wasn't just purely like help the poor or take care of the Levites' needs. Like, God's plan was that you actually use it to enjoy life too.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, which is, yeah, that was like baked into like the Old Testament law, which we always take as being more strict, but it was also saying like, hey, this is how you live. Like you need to have rest time. You need to have celebration time in your year.
This is the book. It's called Pure Pleasure by Gary Thomas. Why do Christians feel so bad about feeling good?
Oh, okay.
Really good book. I will link to it in the show notes.
I'll maybe have to read it. Yeah. Anyways, but we're saying that often though people are overstressed and underslept and end up just being exhausted at the end of the day. Don't have any energy for regenerating or for... Yeah. Yeah.
And, I think, like, I don't know, if we look at our friends and even ourselves, we have, you know, the athletes who, like, play hockey.
Yeah.
Or soccer or volleyball or whatever.
Yeah.
We have those, like, friends.
Yeah. And kind of hard to get into if you're not good at it.
No, exactly. Then you have the board gamers.
Yeah.
And, like, what else is there? Dance.
Interpretive dance.
Ribbon dance. Like, music. Does that count?
I suppose.
Being silly with kids is the only other thing I could think of. I feel like
we're sounding really, really boring right now.
We are, but I mean...
We kind of are.
But I guess now with Netflix, there's the, like, let's watch TV shows and talk about them a little bit.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I do that with my girlfriends.
Oh, okay.
Be like, did you watch the new episode of...
I only have one girlfriend.
I'm glad to hear that.
It's you, by the way.
It's kind of what I suspected. Anyways. Now, is that the girlfriend or is that the person you are married to? It's me. You just said it's me. Yeah.
Yeah. It's the same person.
Imagine that. So, how do you think people can learn to chill out and start playing again? I think we're pretty typical in this. Like, we just watch TV a lot.
When we're wiped at the end of the day, yeah.
Or in general. Hmm. We don't have... Like, I do crochet. And yeah. I used to blog.
We have kids.
We have kids. So
we have a podcast.
We have a podcast now. It's kind of fun. Yeah. But usually it's like, once the kids finally fall asleep around 9 after coming out of their bedrooms 1,000 times... We're not like, let's have a rousing game of fun. We're just like,
Yeah.
And then we turn on a TV show or something.
Yeah.
But, yeah. So.
Yeah. I think that's kind of just the phase of life, though, too.
Yeah. So, well, a few times I've been like, I need to play a game. Like, we need to laugh. Like, sometimes we'll choose TV shows that are funny.
Yeah.
So, like, lighten our. So we can actually laugh and, like, you know, get some endorphins out.
Yeah.
How do you think people can chill out more? Let's brainstorm.
Should we brainstorm for them? I don't have any ideas.
Okay. Well, I was thinking there's an element of like taking ourselves too seriously, I think.
Yeah.
Okay. For me, for sure. I mean, I think I started learning this a little bit like with the kids. Like, I feel like there was a turning point when I remember like... Going around our dining room, we were all, like, riding horses, like, brooms. It was me and Teddy. Teddy was, like, I think he was crawling. Jack. Okay. We were, like, had brooms between our legs, and we were, like, galloping around the dining room. And I felt like a giant dork.
Oh, okay.
I mean, nobody saw me, but I just felt like the biggest tool.
And I didn't see, unfortunately.
No. I actually took a picture of it.
I have no memory. Okay.
Jack thought it was so fun. And it was fun to see him having fun.
Hmm.
And then, so that was one turning point for me to just be like, okay, let loose, Jess. Like you're not that important. And then there was that time where I was trying to keep Jack, like, entertained at church during our, like, worship time. Hmm. We would play music and instruments together.
Okay.
Like, fake ones. So we'd be at the side of the church, and I'd be, like, strumming my fake guitar. And Jack would be, like, shaking his, like, fake egg shaker. Remember that?
I think, oh, yeah, I do remember this, yeah.
Because, like our friend Dave had a shaker, right? And he'd be like, oh, I'm shaking with Dave, and, like... Yeah, and so everybody would, like, look at the side of the church, and here I'd be, like, strumming my guitar and, like, playing it. But that was, like, that was important to me to just, like, stop taking myself so seriously.
Yeah. I think certainly with kids, too, like, they're just, like, playing all the time. So scheduling, like, or not scheduling it in, but having, like, wrestle time, the guys like to, the boys like to schedule that in with me.
Yeah.
Or not just schedule that in, but not my daytimer.
Well, maybe we should.
Maybe we should, yeah. They're ready for wrestle time anytime.
Yeah. So this is the one part that she said that she did with her family. And I love this. And I think we should do this. She and her husband made a list of what her household looked like when things were running really well. And so the list included like sleep, family dinners, working out, healthy cooking, going to church, being present with kids, having control over money, etc. And they called this their joy and meaning list.
Hmm.
So then they compared it to a dream list they had a few years prior, and they noticed a lot of things on the dream list were, like, either accomplishments or acquisitions. So, like, better salary or, like, you know, a house that had more bedrooms, etc.
Hmm.
So then they decided to make, so then they, like, they kind of compared, like, does this joy list make more sense than our, you know, dream list? Like, how do they put the two together? Well, in the end, they actually decided to make their joy list more of a reality. So both of them cut down on their work hours. They cut down their daughter's extracurriculars so they could spend more time together as a family. And it was pretty tough for them at first because, well, their daughter was like, instead of taking Mandarin and French and like four sports and like all kinds of, you know, like that crazy kind of what I would imagine it like New York City lifestyle, although it is kind of Montreal lifestyle in some ways
for some people.
Not the people I people we hang out with, really, but, like, now we don't know any people at school. Like, school is coming, and we're going to start hearing about that kind of stuff. But anyways, it was kind of tough for their daughter, because they were, like, what if our daughter doesn't get into the school she wants, because we've decided to spend time together as a family. But,
what if Jack doesn't get into UCAM?
Oh, no. He'll be kind. At least he'll be kind.
Yeah.
That's what we tell him. It's mommy thinks it's more important that you're kind than you're smart. I like that idea, though. We should do this. Our joy and a meaning list. And our... Willie's looking
at me
like,
our joy and meaning list. I heard meaninglessness. I was like, what? Wait, no, because we don't like it that fun is meaningless. There's a meaning to fun. It's fun. It doesn't need it any more than a meaning.
Yeah.
Right? So to go after the joy and meaning list
and
more than
see
the
how it compares
accomplishment
to our,
and acquisition list.
Well, or to look at what our, like, our goals are and put them on paper and, like, compare the two.
That's true. I've never really made fun goals.
No.
Right? Like, if I think we looked at, like, once we were married for 5 years, because we talked about, like, what are our goals? And it was kind of like our life had gone, I'm not sure if everything had gone quite to plan, but we were married still. So that was a good thing for your fifth
success.
Anniversary. But I mean, we'd had a kid. I think we'd just bought a house.
Uh-huh.
Started a master's and work had actually gone fairly well. Yeah. And so we actually hit everything that was on that list. Even though, like, I think
wasn't
a lot of times through it, we were like,
it was,
I don't know if anything's going to happen.
It was our,
I don't think
it
was a 10-year list.
Well, we
but...
weren't planning to buy a house. Anyways, the first 5 years, I didn't think.
Yeah.
But yeah, we
maybe
got...
Maybe I was.
Yeah.
But we didn't have a joy and meaning list, necessarily.
No.
And I don't have a... I don't know if I have a fun list. Maybe that... If I'd have more fun if I actually had a list of fun things.
Probably.
That I figure out how to do every week.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
So that was kind of the end of the chapter. And, well, here's one of the questions that she asked herself as they kind of, like, established the new routines. She's like, this experience might sound great, but it was terrifying. Like, what if I'm wrong? What if I'm busy and exhausted? What if busy and exhausted is what it takes? What if what if my daughter doesn't get into the college of her choice because she doesn't play violin and speak Mandarin and French and she doesn't play six sports? What if we're normal and quiet and happy? Is that enough? Like, does that count? And sometimes I think we've asked that question as missionaries, right?
Yeah.
Like, what if we just have a regular life instead of one that's like...
off the chart. Yeah. Kind of weird.
Yeah. In when we're kind of like coming out of that time where like Christians talked about being radical and stuff like that. Like, what if we were just very regular? Is that enough? I mean,
is that still possible?
Is that still, yeah.
I'm not sure.
Can you and I ever be normal?
Yeah. Everybody's normal, Jess, until you get to know
them. Until you get to know them. Surprise. So here is, she talks about getting, like, digging deep. So she says, she encourages in the Get Deliberate to make the ingredients for joy and meaning list. So she encourages people to sit down and make a list of everything like that feels good in your life and then check it against your to-do and accomplishments list. She says to get inspired, she really likes that Stuart Brown book that I mentioned. Mm-hmm. And I can link to it in the show notes again. And then she says, like, in terms of getting going, just say no. She says, fuck the system. Take something off your list and add, take a nap. You and I don't really have problems with taking naps.
No.
No, we can always fit a nap into our day, more or less. Even if it's a 15 minutes one right before supper, right?
That's true. There is times where I come home from work and take a nap.
Yep. But, yeah, play more.
Yeah.
I love Monopoly Deal. I would play with that with you, like, a lot.
Oh, you would?
Didn't I, like, a couple times say, like, oh, we're playing games tonight? And you're like, okay.
We did?
Yeah, we did.
The kids can't play, really. Jack can play Uno now, and I guess Dos.
Yes.
So, but Teddy's a disaster.
Oh, yeah.
In all games. So well, it's more work to play a
game. Teddy will play Uno with me. He, like, practices his colors and his numbers.
Okay.
So he'll sit on my lap, and if it's, like, you know, it's a yellow, I'll say, like, put, like, which one's yellow? You can put it down. Like, he's like, I want to be on your team, Mom.
Yeah, that just sounds educational. That's not fun.
I find it fun.
Beating Jack, though. Oh, man, that's fun.
He is ruthless in Uno.
Yeah.
Also, here's a poll. Is it Uno or Uno?
Yeah.
Please text your response.
Also text Belarus or Belarus.
Belarus. Okay. We're going to Google this right away.
Yeah. So no wrong answers, please.
No. And I think that's it for today.
That is all. Yeah. Make time for fun. Don't forget to sleep.
Signing off.
Yeah.